You know, here at the Midas Touch Network, we've been chronicling people who are leaving MAGA. And we're talking to two-time Trump voters who now are leaving MAGA. I want to highlight, for example, a veteran who served in Afghanistan, who used to be a big Trump supporter, who's now leaving MAGA, who's going to explain why he left MAGA. But I want to play this clip for you right now to remind you about how Donald Trump capitulated to the Taliban, how he said he believed the Taliban. Here's Donald Trump's own words. Let's play it.
I'll be meeting personally with Taliban leaders in the not too distant future. And we'll be very much hoping that they will be doing what they say they're going to be doing. They will be killing terrorists. They will be killing some very bad people. We want to bring our people back home. We've killed ISIS fighters by the thousands, and likewise in Afghanistan. But now it's time for somebody else to do that work, and that'll be the Taliban. And I really believe the Taliban wants to do something to show that we're not all wasting time.
Now I want to bring in Rich Loges, the founder of Leaving MAGA, and he's here with Justin Yu. Justin Yu is a veteran. Justin Yu served in Afghanistan and Iraq in the Army National Guard. He's a two-time Trump voter. He's no longer supporting Donald Trump. This is so important, this interview, explaining how people can get out of MAGA and what it takes for them to realize what a dangerous anti-American movement that it truly is. Take it away, Rich Loges.
Hey, out there, America. It's Rich Loges coming to you here from Leaving MAGA on the Midas Touch Network. I just want to give a quick thanks again. All of the views, all the engagement, all the comments. Most of you loving, some of you loathing our Leaving MAGA videos and conversations we've been having. Again, you can find those at Midas Touch Network. Got another one we're going to be dropping for you today, and it's a gentleman named Justin Yu. Now, Justin is a veteran, so I just want to personally thank him before he comes on for his service to our country. And he's going to talk a little bit about his upbringing and his family, and I just want to make mention to him as we bring him on here that I've always said with our servicemen and women that they sacrifice and risk their lives, but also their friends and family do as well when they're on duty and overseas. And I feel like sometimes friends and family are a little bit overlooked. So I want to bring Justin in and have him talk a little bit about his upbringing, his time in the military, and why going from the military to MAGA was a logical move for him. Justin, thank you so much for being here with us today. I really appreciate it. I'm one of the benefits of having left MAGA is I get to meet so many people whom I probably would not have met. And Justin, I just want to say, if I had met you while I was still in MAGA, without knowing anything about you except who you are and how you voted, I would have thought you were like you were on the battlefield up against others, an actual political enemy. So I just want to say that if we had met, I'm apologizing to you for what I would have done. Thank you so much for being here. Let's just get right into this because what I'm really fascinated by is the Leaving MAGA work that we're doing is a lot of the mutual appeals of the military being in that community as well as the MAGA community. Tell us how that was for you in your own life, how you wound up going from military service into being a MAGA American.
Well, first things first, Rich, I want to say thank you so very much for having me on and having me use my voice to try to help others who had been thinking about leaving MAGA or who are still MAGA that are wanting to go a different way. I'm glad that I'm able to help out. I'm glad I'm able to present those choices. So thank you very much, first and foremost. Secondly, giving you a little bit of background about myself, I grew up in a small logging town called Glide, Oregon. That was where I spent the majority of my childhood. It's about 18 miles east of Roseburg, Oregon, and it is in a small little area of Southern Oregon. And growing up in that, I grew up around a lot of construction workers. My dad himself was worked in construction himself. He owned his own construction business for about 25 years, I do believe. Anyway, so also grew up around a lot of loggers as well. My uncle was also a logger himself. He was one of the people who was dropping trees left and right and pulling up the chain himself. So Growing up, I grew up very poor. I grew up in like I said, in Glide, Oregon, in a 1970s single wide manufactured home that was just dilapidated. It was sat on a hill, so all the rainwater that was coming off the top of the hill would come down into our place, make it into a soupy mess. But down the hill of where I grew up, there was a farmer down there who took care of a bunch of animals, horses, cows, pigs, ducks, animals, you know, things like that. So I spent the majority of my childhood around that as well. So my grandfather was also a farmer himself. So he had an orchard, and his next door neighbor was actually producing corn. And the neighbor just a little bit down the road from him was doing alfalfa as well as hay. So I got to spend a lot of time around people who were actually producing food for our community in Douglas County. So I spent a lot of time around a lot of blue collar people, I was never really around very much of a white collar or professional people. So growing up with that, my uncle was also a police officer as well. He served honorably as both a local law enforcement officer as well as also a deputy sheriff. He was very pro law enforcement as well. So I grew up around that community very much as well. And then of course, throughout my childhood, I was heavily influenced about the military because I told my mom ever since I was a little kid, I said, hey, I either want to be an army man or I want to be a policeman. So I chose when I became old enough, 9/11 happened. And I grew up initially under the Clinton administration as far as my formative years go. So we grew up under Clinton and then rolling into George W. Bush and then rolling into 2001 during 9/11. And that's when, like most Americans during that time, as soon as that happened, I walked right to my local recruiter's office and I enlisted. I said, send me over. I want to fight back. I want to serve my country. So there was a lot of just rallying around each other. Mm-hmm. And it was rallying more towards Republicans around that time too, because Republicans were the ones that were like, hey, support our troops, love our troops, give the support, give the love. And even Democrats at that time came up behind that. So even though I still leaned more towards Democrat at that time, growing up during the global war on terror, and I joined the army, went to basic training in 2003, graduated in 2004, and then my first deployment was in 2006 to Afghanistan. So Afghanistan rolls around. I experienced that war, and again, then I started feeling what a lot of other veterans when we came back was feeling like, we're so tired of that career politician, because the career politician was what put us in there. And during that time, that's when all of the lies about the Iraq war started coming out too. Like there was no WMDs. There was no reason for us to actually go there. We completely sent the entire Middle East into upheaval. And at that time, myself and a lot of other my veteran brothers and sisters felt at that time, we're like, what in the heck are we fighting and dying for? We're fighting and dying for a career politician's vision of what a country should be, instead of like, hey, we're actually defending freedom, which again, leading into the 2012 election under Obama, we had just pulled out of Iraq. And at that time I came back from Iraq in 2010, and I saw the withdrawal happening, and almost immediately watching the slow withdrawal happen from 2010 to going into 2011, I saw things starting imploding, and we were angry again at that career politician. We said, what in the heck did we fight and die for? So then I became more Republican. Then I saw Donald Trump was going to run. I heard that he was going to run in 2014. Then 2015 rolls around. He said he was running and he's going against Hillary Clinton. Well, at that time, myself, like everybody else, we were tired of the career politician. We were tired of feeling like that we were being left behind by all these politicians. That's what we felt at that time. We felt, you know what? Let's give the businessman a try. Let's see if we can try to run it by a business, business. And that was point number one of when it should have rang alarm bells to everybody else. And for everybody else that was on the Democrat side, they saw it for what it was. But there was also the anti-Trump sentiment was building, and it was being directed towards us, towards people who did vote for him. And that kept us even more into MAGA because we were either afraid or we got angry by the other side.
But I think, though, see, as you're recounting all of this, and I vividly recall having met so many whom I got to know very well. They had some similar experiences after 9/11. They went right down to their recruiting office, whether it was whatever branch of the military, and immediately signed up to serve. And it was out of a sense of duty. It was out of a sense of patriotism. It wasn't really out of any sense of the glorification of war, right? That tends to mythologically happen. And I think these reasons you're saying about dissatisfaction with career politicians and maybe feeling a little bit like you were betrayed, you know, having gone into other nations, because you actually mentioned to us in a testimonial did for us, which we will post on our site eventually at leavingmaga.org, that in Afghanistan, you actually found it an aesthetically beautiful, pleasing, very serene place, right? And I feel, right? So you said that, and I got to thinking, I've never really heard that before. And those reasons you're citing about supporting Trump and MAGA, I don't think those are controversial reasons. I think they're very anodyne reasons that actually were shared across a variety of ideological spectrums and beliefs. But in the in the military, how would you do a little bit of a compare and contrast, let's say, with the military brotherhood along with the MAGA brotherhood? And I should also mention sisterhood, not to leave out our fellow American sisters in the military and MAGA Americans. I've really been fascinated by what I see as actually a very logical link between serving in the military and gravitating to the MAGA community. Can you speak to that a little bit? Because I really want to hear your perspective on this.
So that's actually very, very easy. And thank you for asking that question. The thing that I found that was very similar that pushed a lot of the veteran community towards MAGA, mainly towards Republicans, is, again, we grew up during the global war on terror. We grew up in that 2001, that post-2001 world. And as far as our formative years went, in as far as our military profession went. So the sentiment was during that time that Republicans were very pro-military, that they were wanting to do things for veteran benefits, that they were wanting to increase military pay, that they were wanting to invest in better technology to keep us safe, and also just the support that we would get when we got back home. That was the sentiment that was being driven at that time by the Republicans. And so veterans in and of itself at that time felt like that it was gravitating towards that. And then Donald Trump comes in, brings MAGA, brings Make America Great Again. And for us, it was the hope that he would actually bring us back to where it's like, we're not the bully anymore. We're not going to upheaval anymore. We are who we are, like in protecting people and protecting our allies and taking care of the people who did serve and taking care of the men and women who did sacrifice themselves and the lives of their families that were changed as well. It very much felt like that there was a lot of gravitation towards MAGA because of the root of Republicans and military being very closely tied together. So I think that that's how it ended up being transferred over, and why a lot of that veteran brotherhood also had a lot of MAGA brotherhood. It kind of coincided with each other quite a bit.
Thank you for that. Because there was, I know you'd mentioned also in some of our conversations about where some of your doubts commenced, and some of them were actually in our foreign policy as well. But yeah, I would. Can you take us through some of the moments and some of your own feelings about when you started to question your support for Trump and MAGA and started thinking, you know, I'm not really sure if I support this, and what that process was like for you?
So the motivations was I had moved myself away from all of the other heads that were physically in my life seeing the same thing, because I was surrounded in an environment that was all Trump. It was all pro-Trump, every single bit of it. The response from COVID didn't really start it. What started was just the slow drip of negativity from him. It was always somebody else's fault. It was always them. And it just started getting very tiring, because I had heard that for 4 years beforehand, leading into the 2020 election. And, then, like I said, at first it was the Russia thing, and it started leaving me a little bit out. I'm like, well, wait a minute. He is a businessman. He is Trump. There is 100% there's 100% fact that he hung out with oligarchs too. It's 100%, like you would think it would. So that's what drew my conclusion about that. I was like, okay, going from there. Then the Russia collusion impeachment as well happened. I got to hear a lot of that. And it slowly just started pulling myself away from not only the, like I said, the people that were around me physically in my life, but also the media that was parroting the things that he was saying. So it was started with that. And then January 6th happens. Mm-hmm. So January 6th to me was when that moment actually started my removing myself from MAGA, for trying to see things for what it is and actually listening to more than just a few voices. It started listening to a variety of different voices, and then I just slowly started waking up. Then again, it was just that slow progression, just watching all of his actions and all of his responses towards scandal, towards investigations, and then his convictions rolled in, like 30 plus convictions on a former president. That's not a small thing to look at. You know, and then it was, like I said, it was just disagreeing with the results of the election. I'm like, person, Mr. Trump, it's been a few years. Like, if there was actual funny business happening, it would have happened. It would have already, you already proved it in open court. You already had the opportunity to prove it in open court, and you didn't do it. So, yeah. And the fact that he still hasn't conceded is still something that is like, that just, it's a fun little quirk that I like to look at. But it was just things like that. It was enabling a group of individuals to storm the Capitol with the sole purpose of disrupting a legal proceeding that needs to happen. Like, as far as I can remember, that's never happened before. Yeah. So watching that live on TV to me was wild.
Mr. President, for 3.5 years after you lost the 2020 election, you repeatedly falsely claimed that you won, many times saying you won in a landslide. In the past couple of weeks leading up to this debate, you have said, quote, you lost by a whisker, that you, quote, didn't quite make it, that you came up a little bit short. Are you now acknowledging that you lost in 2020?
No, I don't acknowledge that at all. I said that sarcastically. It was said, oh, we lost by a whisker. That was said sarcastically.
The biggest moment was watching the debate. That was when I started making that post, like, oh my gosh, this is why I'm turning away from MAGA. I felt comfortable, felt confident about it. And that was because of Vice President Harris feeling like that she's having us unite in purpose about politics and about our government and not about anything disastrous. Like, she's enabling us to have, I've been seeing all over TikTok of people having just nice, polite debates. Sure, people are still getting at each other, but people do that. You have differences, and people have been so angry at each other for so long, it's hard to let go. But people are letting go of that. And I think that Vice President has a lot to do with that.
You know, I just think it's so remarkable how so many of the Leaving MAGA stories so similarly track in so many different ways. Even though each of us were individuals and we have our experiences and our traumas and our influences growing up. And I imagine for some who might be watching, they may think, well, there's a lot that went into the reasons Justin left and the time of it. And I understand to some extent why some are very exasperated and might think, well, how come you didn't leave after this event or that event or combination of events? But this is not how people really extract themselves out of these really toxic communities. And, you know, I can really hear, and from our conversations and what you're saying, it really was a gradual process for you. I always joke that my personal and political epiphany, to paraphrase the late Ernest Hemingway, happened gradually and then suddenly all at once. And I find that that's actually quite common. So I really appreciate just how candid you are and the vulnerability of really trying to work through all of these various moments in which the doubt just keeps growing and growing until there's a point where you say, like I did, can't support this anymore. Justin, I want to ask you one last question because I want to get your take on this as a service member. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to, let's say, a fellow military member, serviceman or woman, who is still all about supporting Trump, and supporting MAGA. Do you is there something in particular that you would like to mention to them for based on your experience? And is there something that you may feel like they're overlooking? Because in the military, right, you take an allegiance and an oath to the Constitution, not to the government, not to a political party or a candidate, just like mm-hmm. you alluded to at the outset here. Is there something that you maybe feel like veterans who, for sincerely held beliefs and reasons, are still supporting Trump, but is there something that they're missing that you feel like you can shed some insight on for them?
Yes, I do believe so. What I think the number one thing is to listen to him. Don't listen to anybody else that's around him. Don't listen to to all the right-wing podcasters. You know who they are, like, and that's okay. But pull away from them for a minute and listen to just him. Listen to the things he's really saying, especially this time around. Like, ask about policy. What policy is he doing that you still agree with? Like, name one. Ignore whoever they are that is, you know, whether it's immigration or if it's the actual current administration or whatever. Ignore all of that. Ask about him. Like, what did he do during his 4 years that was good for us veterans, that was good for the military? People say, oh, the pullout from Afghanistan was Biden's fault. No, it wasn't. Trump started it.
Yeah, I'm glad you
remember that. Trump started it. Trump released the prisoners, not just any prisoners, like the ones that were wanting to hurt us, the very same ones that did blow up the gate when during the pullout in 2021. Like, that started with Trump because he wanted to give the Taliban, again, he felt that he was giving the Taliban something for them to hold back on pushing forward and trying to push forward. But really all they were doing, they were just biding their time. So the pullout of Afghanistan with all that equipment there, that wasn't Biden's fault. That was Trump.
First, thank you. President Trump, your response to her saying that you began the negotiations with the Taliban.
So if you take a look at that period of time, the Taliban was killing our soldiers, a lot of them, with snipers. And I got involved with the Taliban because the Taliban was doing the killing. That's the fighting force within Afghanistan. They don't bother doing that because, you know, they deal with the wrong people all the time. But I got involved. And Abdul is the head of the Taliban. He is still the head of the Taliban. And I told Abdul, don't do it anymore. You do it anymore, you're going to have problems. And he said, why do you send me a picture of my house? I said, you're going to have to figure that out, Abdul. And for 18 months, we had nobody killed. We did have an agreement negotiated by Mike Pompeo. It was a very good agreement. The reason it was good, we were getting out. We would have been out faster than them, but we wouldn't have lost the soldiers. We wouldn't have left many Americans behind, and we wouldn't have left $85 billion worth of brand new, beautiful military equipment behind. And just to finish, they blew it. The agreement said you have to do this, 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 and they didn't do it. They didn't do it. The agreement was terminated by us because they didn't do what they were supposed to do.
I want to move on.
And these people did the worst withdrawal and, in my opinion, the most embarrassing moment in the history of our country. And by the way, that's why Russia attacked Ukraine, because they saw how incompetent she and her boss are.
President Trump, thank you.
The military legally, or at that time, were ordered not to take it.
That's right.
They said, don't leave it there. They said, leave it there. Just go. Like, and that's something that we need to think about too. And the other part is, like, we don't like career politicians. Nobody really does. Okay. At the same time, think about who we as Americans genuinely don't like, which is major corporations. We don't like corporations. Guess who Trump is? Trump is corporate. He is not just corporate. He is one of the corporate guys. That's how he thinks. He thinks in that maximizing profit type of mindset. Like, and that's not, I don't want to say to, you know, I don't want to say that's his fault in the world that he grew up in, but he was. he grew up and not only in a very old, outdated generation, in that 1940s, 50s, 60s civil rights era type of upbringing, but he has also been very rich. He is the rich guy. Remember back in the 80s and 90s, it was like you heard about Trump. Trump equaled wealth,
right? And that was the appeal, right? It's like that. Yes. That was the right. One of the appeals of the camp when he first ran was being an unknown, and I think that people took some. I think it's very rational that some Americans said, okay, as an unknown, willing to take a chance, willing to take a calculated risk here and wager. And that was certainly for me part of the appeal. And, you know, as far as military, this is one point I do want to mention also as we near the end here, is that when I look back at the burgeoning curiosity that I had about the Trump campaign after he declared in the summer of 2015. In hindsight, the moment I should have run, the moment my curiosity should have ceased and desisted was when he said what he said about the late Senator John McCain. I like those who aren't captured. Looking back on it, if I ever meet Meghan McCain or Mrs. Cindy McCain, I'm going to give them an especial apology. That is when I should have run very, very fast, because you've also got these other events like the suckers and losers comments, right? And you have people like General John Kelly, a highly, highly venerable and decorated military officer who served in an impossible role as a chief of staff to Trump, and he's corroborated these remarks. And yes, I know that we all weren't in the room when it was allegedly said, but I always said with Trump, when you think about a lot of the worst statements that he's accused of making and alleged, I always ask people, is it believable though that he would have said that? And I think the fact that it is so believable that he would have said that is, it really tells us, I think, so much about just who he is as a person. And as I go out and about, and those who are undecided for this election, one of the reasons, excuse me, that they're undecided is, and they don't want to vote for Trump, is because of character. And I think that you have just really so well, in summation, highlighted how, as a veteran dedicated to our democracy, you could not and would no longer support this person. And Justin, I just want to say, you know, I'm proud of you. I thank you for your service. It takes an intrepid person to do everything that you have done in your life, to go through a poor upbringing into the military, and to go through this transformative process of being in MAGA and leaving. You've also got a lot of shorts out there that you do on socials. Where can people find you? Where can people find you and watch all those? I really love those vignettes that you've done. That's how I discovered you. So where can people find you?
You can find me on TikTok. My TikTok is @thatguyu, or just search Papa U on the search bar. You can find me up, or Papa U, or Justin U as well. So okay, find me on three.
Yep. All right, great. So everyone out there, now, in addition to watching on Midas Touch Network, you need to get to Justin's socials and watch. So he's got so many great, they're humorous, they're educational. Justin U with us today, service member, left MAGA. Justin, I'm so thankful on behalf of everyone here. Really appreciate you being with us. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Hey, America, if you like this video, be sure to subscribe down below so you don't miss any of our Leaving MAGA and Midas Touch Network updates and Leaving MAGA videos. As always, thanks so much for watching.
Love this video? Make sure you stay up to date on the latest breaking news and all things Midas by signing up to the Midas Touch newsletter at MidasTouch.com/newsletter.